Good morning. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to CPFL Energy third quarter of 2009 earnings conference call. Today with us we have Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr., CEO of CPFL Energia, and Mr. José Antonio de Almeida Filippo, CFO and Head of Investor Relations, and other officers of the company. This call is being broadcasted simultaneously through the internet through www.cpfl.com.br/ir, where you will also find the presentation for downloading purposes. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the presentation, there will be a Q&A session when further instructions will be given. Should you need any assistance during the call, please press star zero for an operator. I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements that might be made during this conference regarding CPFL's projections and operating and financial methods are under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Future considerations are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events, and therefore they depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of CPFL Energia and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. Mr. Ferreira, you may proceed. Good morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I would like to talk about some highlights of the third quarter involving basically the growth in the energy sales market, 2.9%, and we will be talking about this in detail, and this relates to sales made in the captive market of the distribution companies and added to the sales in the free market. Mr. Ferreira has a slight technical problem there. Which is the incorporation of the results of the final tariff review, and it was the first company to make the tariff reviews in 2007. Therefore, now, after the improvements proposed by the regulatory agency, it has to reconfigure the results since October 2007. Of course, the methodology presented later last year, and I will make a demonstration of the results here, mainly of parcels A and B, and which have to be totally configured from October 2007 on, and also including the financial effect. This is a non-recurrent effect, and this is a major one. It is incorporated to the results that I will be talking about today. There are some important effects as well relative to our strategic plan, and the highest one is 51% of the Paraíba, which has two TPPs under construction. I'm talking about 340 MW with a share of 51% of our company, which means. The sound is interrupting all the time. The interpreter. Now we will have the startup of this plant. We are also announcing the second project of energy generation from biomass, and I will be talking about this during the presentation, the Bahia Formosa project. afterwards, we will be talking about the wind energy auction, and we had already talked about this to the market, and then the acquisition of the rights over 7 wind farms in the northeast of Brazil. And we will be participating in this auction this next December. During the third quarter, we had the migration of minority shareholders of the former CPFL Jaguariúna, CMS of Brazil, and also the incorporation in the process of CPFL Santa Cruz in this stock swap. We have very small minority interest in these companies, and they are especially, on one hand, to increase the free float of our company, something around 0.2%, and of course giving liquidity to minority shareholders in these companies, and we will be holding 100% stake in these companies. And I would like to end the highlights talking about some important fact. The first time ever, the CPFL Group was included among the 10 best companies to work for of the Exame magazine and with CSA magazine. And CPFL Piratininga won the National Quality Prize and RGE as a finalist. And this is the most important award in terms of quality management in Brazil. So it really recognizes 2 companies in the group, which shows that we are sharing the management model of the company, and it is considered as one of the most efficient in the whole world. So we are really class world companies in terms of management. So as you can see in the lower part of the slide, the earnings of the third quarter, $2,389,000,000 in revenues. In 08, the third quarter of 08, EBITDA set $745 million, net income $344 million, and now we are reporting the amounts to the left. So we are reporting an increase of to $2,704 million, EBITDA R$670 million, and net income R$290 million. Over this presentation, we will be able to justify the differences that stem from the impact of the retroactive tariff review that retracts to 2007 of Piratininga. And it is important to stress now the recurrent net revenues, EBITDA, and net income, because this is what you need, you analysts and investors, because this is important for the future of the company. So the effect of $109 million on the EBITDA and on the net income of $174 million, we have reconfigured the net revenues of the group to $2,768 million, which would correspond to the increase by 15.9% vis-à-vis last year. And of course, this incorporates also the tariff adjustments carried out, be it at Paulista, RGE, during this year, since the beginning of this year, and higher indicators between 18% to 20%, as well as the tariff adjustment of Piratininga last year, which impact revenues without the corresponding increase on the EBITDA going up 4.5% on a recurring basis to $778 million, and net income under these conditions would be growing by 5.6% to R$363 million, which we consider as a good performance, especially because of the fact that now we have a moment of economic recovery, and therefore sales are still lower than our estimates. For all these reasons, let's go to slide number 3. We have our ownership structure here. No change in our ownership structure this quarter, so we can see free float 30.5%. The free float will increase by 0.2%, as I said before, according to the proposal for stock swap that we have underway involving assets, as you can see, in distribution, where we have 99.99% of Santa Cruz, 96.56% of CPFL Leste Paulista, 19.15% of Jaguari, 87.8% of CPFL Sul Paulista, 89.76% of CPFL Mococa, And still, in commercialization and services, we have 89.82% CPFL services. And finally, on the generation side, 90.15% of Jaguari. All these stock holdings will be the object of this proposal for stock swap, for CPFL Energy swap. And at the end of this process, we will have CPFL Energia holding 100% of stock in each one of the companies that I have just mentioned. So this is the operation that we have underway. Now let's talk about slide number four, where we can detail the energy sales. On the upper part, you can see total energy sales going up by 2.9%, exceeding 12,000 gigawatts, and they stem from total sales, from the summation of the energy sales in the captive market and the concession area. So the second part, the green, the dark green, where you have in this quarter 9,354 gigawatts hour with a drop by 0.2%. And now I would like to start to talk about details of the captive market sales on the lower part of the slide. During this quarter, vis-a-vis the same quarter last year, 4.2% growth in the residential market, 2.3% growth in the commercial market, then a drop in the industrial market, 4.8%. And in the others segment, a drop by 1.8%. And this segment was affected very strongly during this quarter by the higher rainfall. And when you have a higher rainfall, you see a major drop in what has to do with services to the irrigation market. So it was not necessary to use power for irrigation purposes because rainfall was rather significant. Due to all these reasons, the captive market shows this drop by 0.2% total. And when we look at the light green part of the slide, we see the behavior of the free market, and mainly in terms of the collection of the tariff for the use of the distribution system, which we call TUSD, so the free consumers that operate in the concession area of the group, with a drop of 4.6% from 3,059 to 2,919. And when you add up the light green and the blue and the dark green, you can see a performance corresponding to 12,274, a drop of 1.3% vis-a-vis the previous year, 1.3%. So for comparison purposes, we use this lower part of the chart where we can see the performance of the companies, of the CPFL distribution companies dropping by 1.3% in area or sales in the concession area and a 2% drop in Brazil. So you can see that the performance of Brazil is slightly higher than Brazil. So for the seven operations that we have in the southeast, mainly in the hinterland of São Paulo State and some municipalities in Paraná and also in Minas Gerais. But you can see here that we see a drop by 1% for our distribution companies and 3.5% in the southeast as a whole. In the south, our operation of the RGE dropping by 2.9%, and the south overall minus 1.9%, the south region. And this is due to the industrial segments that are serviced by RGE, which are still recovering from the crisis. And I would like to end this analysis with the upper part of the slide, free market sales, where the company achieves 15.5% growth, 2,650 gigawatts hour in a comparison to the same period last year. And due to the drop in the volumes of energy in the free market in the beginning of this year, the operation that we had was through the adjustment auction sales carried out throughout 2009. And this is where we were able to allocate a very major volume of power. And so we were able to have this very good performance. So the result that determines differently from the free consumers is the operation of our commercialization company selling to distribution companies in the adjustment auction promoted by the government earlier this year. So you can see that we have a satisfactory sales result as a whole, because it shows, and I will have elements to show this more clearly, this shows already a process of economic recovery and a rather high degree of success in the free market operations. Now let's go to slide number 5, where we can go more in depth into these figures. First, I would like to talk about the macroeconomic and the sectoral situation, which have some impact on the commercial and residential sectors. You can see that the Southeast, especially the state of São Paulo, has better conditions, be it in the growth of payroll in general, which is vigorous, in the sale of furniture and home appliances, which is similar in São Paulo and Rio Grande do Sul, something close to 3%. Retail sales stronger in São Paulo, 7.5 vis-a-vis 1.5 in Rio Grande do Sul, and many other important elements which favor the maintenance of the economic activity, lower interest rates, credit assignments at the same levels, and the drop in price of appliances, mainly because of the reduction on the industrialized products tax, and some other aspects that still have to evolve. We have a decrease in the activities of all port warehouses, and also a lower movement of people in public places because of the influenza A, H1N1. And we should also mention, and here on the lower part of the slide, you can see that the comparison of the residential and commercial sectors occurs based on the quarter with the highest quarter in the last few years. You can see that we have been growing by 4.2%, over 9.2%, which was the result of the same period last year, which was already the highest. And you can see the same behavior in the commercial activities, growing by 2.2% this quarter, on top of the third quarter of 08, which was already 10%. So we can see that we still have these two activities with a very favorable performance. And it was the quarter that was immediately before the crisis that hit the world as a whole. And as I have already shown you, Brazil is already recovering from the crisis. It is important to stress that the average daily temperature for Campinas was from 2 to 3 degrees higher in the last quarter vis-a-vis the same data for the previous year. So as you well know, in the residential sector, this interferes in the consumption of refrigerators, for instance, which is a major appliance that consumes energy, and still the air conditioning systems as well, which are less used than in higher temperatures. Now on slide number 6, we have a whole set of elements to show you very clearly how vigorous the Brazilian economy is, and the confirmation of the fact that Brazil was really one of the first countries to exit the crisis. So here you have the real household income, which is seasonally adjusted, total for metropolitan regions. So we already have better figures here than the ones that we had before the crisis. This is a very positive trend, a very clear trend, which starts here on the third quarter of 09. Another evidence of that is the creation of formal jobs. Since December last year, the balance was negative, and it gets more balanced as of April, and then with a strong recovery with the creation of something like 700,000 or 750,000 formal jobs until the end of September. And on page number 7, you see an important element, which are loans to individuals, excluding car, real estate, and overdrafts, also recovering, going up to the same levels that we had in September 08. And the retail sales volume, Brazil, São Paulo, and Rio Grande do Sul on the three curves, you can see that São Paulo drives the process, and you can see that the conditions are better than the pre-crisis months, and the same occurs for overall Brazil, but we do not have a very vigorous recovery still in Rio Grande do Sul. However, in spite of that, it is still positive. On page number 8, I have explained so far the impact on the residential and commercial sectors, and now I would like to focus on the industrial segment. As you can see, the three icons that we have on the left, captive industrial dropping by 4.8%, industrial in the concession area dropping by 4.7%, and TUSD 4.6%, with a weighted average between the two first ones. And sectors that already have a consumption behavior which is higher than last year, you have chemistry, mineral, non-metallic minerals, paper and paperboard, foodstuff and textiles, and those who are still recovering but not still recovered, metallurgy, transportation equipment, here vehicles and rubber, which is associated to that, mechanic, and the sales in the domestic market of vehicles, mainly automotive vehicles, will be higher this year in principle. It will not be the same in the heavy transport area of trucks and buses, but light commercial, yes, light vehicles. But these sectors are still affected by drop in exports. The inventory was already used in terms of production. We still have a production which is inferior to last year. The higher sales, mainly in light vehicles and not the heavy vehicles, but the production is still low because of the use of the inventories earlier this year, and also due to the fact that we had an export performance that was lower than the previous periods. And here we follow some of our major clients that operate in the Paulista and Piratininga areas. They are selected from our market, and we can see in these clients the very clear signs of recovery. So we got to the peak of the recovery, something around 20% lower than the previous year. So the chart shows the red bar where you have 94.76. The basis is 100. And you can see that they have recovered until February, and as of February, you can see that it varies very little. Recovery becomes more clear, and we had already said that in the previous quarter, and as of the second half of July, this is when recovery is very clear. And you can see in September, it is already slightly higher with a behavior that is similar to October as well. So these are the important data to show you the vigor of the major industries in Brazil. Some sectors still rely on exports, and there are still challenges to be overcome. But those who depend on the domestic market and that have no implication whatsoever in terms of exchange rate, you can see that the performance is very acceptable, and this is what drives the performance that I show you on this slide. You can see here minus 11.5% on the last slide, the industrial consumption performance, and it is already minus 4.7% in the third quarter of 2009. Now let's go to page number 9, where we have our inventories, and we also have evidence when the inventory gets to zero. You can see in capital goods and intermediary goods and the consumer goods that lead the trend, when inventories get to this position, you can see that there is demand for a higher production. So the plants have to increase their capacities. And you can see on the right, we are reaching 83% of use of our capacity. So last year, we had the pre-crisis values at the end of last year, and we had something around 85 or 87%. And industrial production, with a gap, or seasonally adjusted, with a gap of 8%, and more related to the sectors that I have already mentioned. And now let's go to page number 10 in order to better understand the performance of the CPFL group. So we start with the EBITDA of the third quarter of last year, 745 million, and we will be reporting the recurring results first so that we can cancel off the non-recurring effects. So the relevant point here is that the increase in net revenues, 15.9%, related basically to the additional sales volume in the captive market and in the free market already, 2.9% growth in sales, and of course, impact on tariff adjustments, impact of tariff adjustments of Paulista, Piratininga, and RGE this year, between 18%-20%, as I have already mentioned. So these are the major impacts that made the revenues net of the drop of 8.5% of the USD because of the performance of the free consumers and also the recalculation of the Piratininga recalculation. In spite of all that, we have 368 million of revenue increase. And in order to meet the requirements of this higher volume of sales, we also have a higher volume of energy acquired, and the selling price is also related to the transfer of price of the energy bought. Besides the volume bought for the free market, we have the reindexation of the energy that services distribution companies in order to supply or meet the needs of this 2.9% growth. Because of all that, 321 million additional in our energy costs. And here we add the increase in our costs and operating expenses and costs, 4.4% increase, and the startup of the 14 de Julho or 14 of July HPP. So we have 4% growth, and for most of our staff, we gave 6% adjustment in their salaries in the middle of this year with the application of the IPCA, the Extended Consumer Price Index, which is a major indication for costs. So we call it IPCA. So we are working with a slightly lower value here. So we would have a recurrent EBITDA of 778 million reais or a growth of 4.5% vis-à-vis last year. And this is where we have the non-recurrent effects on the next column, 109 million reais. And first, I would like to mention the adjustment that we call positive, but it stems from the new criterion by the regulator on the net revenues, where you have the net revenues, the sales volume to the licensees or cooperatives, and then the discount is applied. So this is an accounting operation which has no effect. It has an effect on the EBITDA, however, no effect on the earnings of the company, on the bottom line of the company. So we have the recalculation of Piratininga, which is here shown in red and minus 71 million reais, mainly for the parcels A and B. The parcel A, the new consideration of losses, and in parcel B, AP52, regarding the cost of the benchmark company. And there is also consideration, which is still provisional. There is a public hearing by ANEEL to evaluate all the concessionaries in terms of their voluntary exposure or non-voluntary exposures stemming from the insufficient volumes, the shortage of volumes of Itaipu, or the frustration, so to say, of the Proinfa. So we have a provisional treatment of it is placed now as voluntary, and the company submitted a whole set of appeals to ANEEL and obtained by ANEEL recently the approval of its contract in terms of volume. So we understand that this temporary value, this temporary amount, has a positive expectation for the future. At least I'm positive. I'm optimistic about that. So it is provisional in the consideration of Piratininga's voluntary exposure of 45 million reais. Overall, we have the non-recurrent effect of 109 million reais, and we report 670 million, therefore. I think it is important to stress that in the increase in the price of energy, 371 million, we have 4.4, and this is the indexation that I was talking about, and 60% of the charges for the use of the system and for the dispatch of thermal energy occurred last year, mainly. Okay, now let's go to page 11, talking about our net income using the same criterion, the same amount. Last year, 344 million. We have just reported the effect of the increase in the EBITDA, 34 million plus 22 million of our financial results. You can see here on the lower part of the slides, stemming from the more benign macroeconomic scenario in the third quarter of this year vis-a-vis the third quarter of last year. Because of that, we see a reduction in our financial revenues, our cash availability, with Selic dropping from 12.49, with a reduction of 34.5%, amounted to 45 million. And the positive side of that is that practically 60% of our financing are indexed to the CDI, and this is where we have an advantage, a drop by 30% in our financial expenditures, interest expenses, not linked only to Selic, 60% Selic, but we have more than 30% in long-term interest rate, and it also dropped. And this caused a reduction of 67 million with a gain of 22, that is to say 67 minus 45. We have an increase in depreciation and amortization, pension fund entity, investments that we made there, and performance, the lower performance of our pension fund vis-a-vis actuarial costs in a comparison with last year where we had a surplus. And the counterpart of this gain of 34 plus 22 with a result of 11 million reals for income tax and social contribution. So our recurrent net income is 363 million, corresponding to an increase of 5.6%, and the 109 that you saw on the previous slide, net of taxes on the last line, you have a negative effect of 74 million reals. So there is an impact there of the non-recurrent effect, but what we can observe more clearly is the recurrent effect or recurrent results, because there are outlooks regarding the economy and the startup of many generation assets that we have. This will be made more clear. Of course, this is a first initial consideration on page 12. So here I show you the recurrent margins, 29.7, almost 30% on the EBITDA margin, net interest margin, 17.5%, 13.8% with a growth vis-a-vis the second quarter of 2009, and impact of assets that will be started up next year, Foz do Chapecó, Baldim Biomass, and other two companies, one biomass unit, Bahia Formosa and Depasa as well. You can see that the higher degree of balance here, mainly regarding the origin of our operating gains, two-thirds distribution, 25% generation. And this year, after these new plants start up, we will have 58% in distribution with a reduction in the share of distribution. In generation, we will have a growth from 25 to 32%, so it will account for about one-third of the company's earnings. So the regulated ones are 58%, and those and the others are close to 42%. Page number 13, the results of the tariff review of Piratininga. On the left, the tariff review cycle, the major effects are the reduction in the parcel A. We lost 11 million reals here with the final one, parcel B, minus 26 million reals, stemming mainly from the application of the AP-52, the so-called AP-52, which is a public hearing that established the definition of the company's costs, adding up to 38 million reals plus the financial effects that have to be applied retroactively to October 2007, amounting to the figure that we talked about. And there is a consideration because of the economic indices also, the comparison between the EPCA and the EGPM, which altered the factor of XE factor from 0.73 to 0.15. On the right side, annual tariff adjustment. The core tariff adjustment, 2.81, and the major indicators that drove this evaluation. You can see EGPM for 12 months with a negative variation of 0.4, exchange rate dropping by 13.3%. It went to 1.778, and also stemming from the application of the annual tariff adjustments of 2.81 on average plus 3.17 financial components, we have 5.98 total. And we have an increase also in the 8 parcel, 58 million and 6 million reals parcel B. So now we have finished our remarks about tariff review, and now we will be talking about some distribution data here, a delinquency effect on page number 14. Although delinquency has increased in the economic activity as a whole, and we are reporting here 0.53 percentage points in the state of São Paulo, reaching 6.47%. But you can see that in the CPFL Energia Group, which has most of its distribution in the state of São Paulo, we had an increase of 0.14, reaching 1.44. You can see that this is rather stable since last year. You can see the lower part of the slide where you have a chart with a curve. It's very clear. We have practically the same delinquency rate that we had in 08, which is shown in blue. And in 08 and 09, we had a major variation in delinquency in the economic activity as a whole. And in spite of that, as you can see, ever since April this year, it has been going back, reaching 6.47.
On page 15, we have a statement on our economic activity. We keep on growing, 2.2% increase in the number of consumers, 6,539,000, and another increase in productivity. It is clear, obviously, in the number of customers per employees, 4.6%, and not so clear in sales energy per employee due naturally to volumes of energy that are very similar on a quarter basis, with a slight drop of 0.2 in this quarter, as we said before. However, our productivity gain is around 1%. Now, moving to page 16, our projects. The first remark on Baldin plant, we have 84% of the works ready. Startup is scheduled for March next year. A 45 megawatts plant, and here we have 24 megawatts per season of exports, 98 million reais invested. So excellent conditions, civil works are very much in line with our schedule. Now on the next page, page 17, we already have an important landmark. 79% of the plants are concluded up to September. Today we have more than 84%. But startup is scheduled by late first half of next year or early second half of next year. And then we have the redirection of the river. You can see on the right of the picture, you can see the spillway already concluded. And now we are going to have a stop log on the right. You can see the beginning of the drying period and now the passage of the water going through the right side through the spillway. So now, over the next 6 months, we'll be then finally rising the dam and we'll be ready to start up. Please note, well, this project has a relevant impact in our bottom line, considering we have about 1 billion reais invested up to now, and it has a strong impact on our indicators for debt. considering we're incorporating the debt investment, and so far we don't have EBITDA. However, this project, as it is, will bring additional revenues to the group, 300 million reais on a year basis, approximately. The second important project, as we spoke previously on the topic, the group of the need to have some kind of diversification on the sources, considering biomass and also thermal energy. On page 18, we have some reasons why we have IPASA project. We're acquiring a 51% stake of these two TPPs in progress. These TPP in the overall installed capacity, 340 megawatts. And due to our stake, we have 70 megawatts for the company, 174 megawatts. So it is a TPP sold in the A3 auction, and now we'll start up to October 2010. It should demand 608 million reais of investments, and CPFL will be in charge of 310 million reais. We already have the installation permit and PPA, as I spoke previously, coming from the auction is 174 megawatts per hour. We have oil, fuel, and wind. We have 31% of our shareholders, Aruna, with 16, and Owens Incorporation with 2%. Now, we highlight the importance of really having thermal energy in our farms in Brazil, especially in the Northeast. Consider it is an interconnected system. In the Northeast, we depend largely on a single river, and this is where we have, for obvious reasons, a great need of thermal power plants at 26%. That's an important plan, therefore, for that subsystem, and obviously it does protect connection with other systems. It's important to say that we're not moving away from our vocation in the group for hydropower plants. 90% will still be in that area, and here we have, we're seeking for 7%, and now we have 8% for oil fuel TPPs, and now with the 2% of projects underway for cogeneration that is run by biomass. Now the plant being built is already generating 300 direct jobs and 900 indirect jobs for construction purposes. And during operation, we have 50 direct and 250 indirect jobs, a very important project that adds to our production capacity. We'll see the impacts later on. Page 19, this is the second project that we're announcing today. CPFL, creating CPFL Bio Formosa, in order to also have a project in Rio Grande do Norte State. This venture has a partnership with the Farias Group, one of the major groups in the northeast of the country. And because, well, we have a deactivation of the cogeneration plant of Formosa, and we have a new hydropower plant owned by CPFL. We'll be investing 127 million reais in this project. Startup is scheduled up to July 2011. This hydropower plant has already been authorized by ANEEL for independent energy production, and it was also the object of a stake in an A5 auction in 2006. So 70% or 40 megawatts will be installed in the plant, 25 come from CPFL. We have an agreement for additional capacity, and we also have Bahia Formosa for the normal operation of the company, and 70% out of the 25 are already sold in the A-5 option at 162.72 reais per megawatts per hour in August-based 2009. And we were the consultants to sell the surplus in the A-5 auction at that time. And obviously we have 30% of this volume assured to be sold in the free market. So in this plant, we have a potential for trading of carbon credits, and we're very happy with the project and with the partnership. Now finally, on page 20, this is our initiative We're still very optimistic when it comes to the auction that will be take place in December 14 of the wind farms. We had announced 1.5 months ago the acquisition of rights over 7 farms installed in Rio Grande do Norte. And then we have the chance with these 7 wind farms to participate with 180 megawatts in this auction. We made a choice based naturally on the qualifications of these parks or farms, especially when it comes to the event maps. This region is very positive for that purpose. So the rights in corporate land already leased for 30 years. We had the initial license in September 20, and we also delivered all certifications of measures, anemometric measurements, certification of annual energy production, the license documents, and that happened in October 9, 2009. And now we have all these farms qualified and also the grid connection statement. And here at Startup, we have an important selection. From the moment we have the ceiling with 189, the market speculated or expected from 20 to 210. So we already have a selection right from the beginning. That's very important. We had a positive variation of the farm, and now we keep on being very optimistic. And we can diversify our production with wind power, with important production to Brazil and particularly to the Northeast, as you said previously, because there we have the greatest potential of events in Brazil, virtually half of the capacity or the potential of exploration of wind power in Brazil is found in the Northeast, as you can see on the map. And stemming from this strategy, now on page 21, we share the results from a result of the vigorous growth that we will still see in the coming months for generation. Today we rank 4th as private generation company in Brazil with 1,737 megawatts in operation, and with our announcement today, we'll be closed well up to 2011 with 2,400 megawatts as a result of the projects that we have just announced. And obviously, if you can have that for wind power too, projects that are expected to happen in mid-2012, then we have conditions to be closed to 2,600 megawatts, and it would be ranking 3rd. As the largest player in the market, but already very close to the 2nd player. If we consider our intentions to add in our strategic plan something close to 1,000 megawatts in terms of small hydro plants and specialty plants related to biomass, in addition to the wind farms, we're confident that in 2012 we will be ranking 2nd as the largest private generator in Brazil, focused on hydropower and with a relevant participation in biomass in our portfolio. Now, let's move on to page 22. Address and value-added services, that's a unit that has been growing significantly in our segment. Here we show we have a 16% growth in the gross revenue for the quarter compared to the previous quarter. We signed 82 new agreements in the 3rd quarter. The portfolio sales amount to 22 million reais, and in the first 9 months we had 55 million reais billed with this business unit, despite the crisis that obviously delayed some businesses that were expected. Another highlight is the growth of CPFL Total for collection purposes. We are still growing fast. We virtually doubled compared to the previous quarter. Gross revenue amounts to 10 million reais. And we also report the performance of CPFL Atendi. We have 125 BAs, 266 employees, and we're reaching 1.5 million as billings, 2.4 for the year. So important activities. They are loyalty instruments with major clients and concessionaires of energy in Brazil. Now moving to page 23, important data on the evolution of the debt cost. The lowest in the history, 5.8% in real terms and 10.4% on a nominal basis. Therefore, with our financing, we are 93% of CDI coming from our strategy for diversification for CDI and long-term interest rate, as you can see at the bottom, long-term interest rate with 32%. So basically, investment in generation, fully funded by BNDES, and part of investment in distribution for FINEN lines. In yellow for IGP, you have the funding, our pension funds. The company keeps up having the rating as a double A plus, the best rating in the sector. Page 24, an assessment of adjusted net debt. 5.65 billion to 6.5. We pay dividends now on September 29, and obviously it reduces our cash and cash equivalent to 680 million. We used to have more than 1 billion when we made the payment. So we have 6.5 million reais adjusted debt, and the indicator is 2.39-fold. Net debt over EBITDA. And if we discount for the Chapecó alone, it would be 2.1-fold. So duration is 4-year term, showing the company has an important performance in the financial area, adding value from its base of funds. Page 25, just to show our performance, lower than comparable figures. The company was least affected last year compared to other companies. It is a hard comparison actually to be made, but still, growth is 4% on a year basis in the domestic market and something around 16% in the foreign market compared to the third quarter, and with a reasonable volume of trades, 1,864 in the average of the third quarter and 25.5 million reais between Brazil and the U.S. We're about to conclude with page 26, just highlighting acknowledgement and the National Quality Award to CPFL Piratininga and RGE as one of the finalists of the award. CPFL Piratininga is the youngest Brazilian company to ever be awarded. It's the third award for the group, CPFL Energia. It's something very significant and important. This award is not related more specifically to service quality, but management quality, or the company's management model, its systems, managers, and especially the earnings and results. So we are very proud of these awards, especially when it comes to personnel. It's also an acknowledgement considering that we are among the 150 best companies to work at, and we rank 8th in that ranking. I'm sorry if I was too long. We had a longer presentation, but my officers are here, and we'll be happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start your question and answer period now. In order to ask a question, please press star 1. To remove your question from the queue, please press star 2. Our first question comes from Mr. Marco Severini from Itaú Corretora, Itaú Brokerage House. Good morning. First, congratulations for the results that you disclosed. And one question refers to the two acquisitions, the two TPPs that you announced today. And I would like to understand the CAPEX that you talk about, approximately 600 million reals. Does that include the price that you have paid for by your stake for this stake, or is it CAPEX for the project development only? And the question, the second question is the following. The energy sold in the A-3 in 2007, will the plant to start up in January 2010? And you said that the startup will be in October 2010. Could you talk about this exposure, this spot exposure, and if you have already bought energy, and what was the price you paid for because of this exposure? And the last question that I have has to do with all the debate about Parcel B, the increase in the Parcel B. I would like to know if you already have an estimate of the impact that this change in the methodology of the Parcel B could have, what impact it could have on CPFL from now on. I'm not talking about retroactively, but just from now on. Very good question, Severini. About the first one, the acquisition or the CAPEX, the $310 million involve both CAPEX and the part that we had to capitalize the company with in order to have 51%. So we have this capitalization, and also we are responsible for financing. So $310 million corresponds to the investment of 51%, which will have a CAPEX of 608. So this capitalization is on investment already placed or made by the other partners. So we are paying for their share. We are capitalizing the company so that we may have the capacity to continue our investment until October 2010. The second question, you are right. In fact, the company has to generate as of January 2010. Because of that, CPFL Brasil, together with our partner, we are taking the necessary measures in order to hedge this exposure. But as you can well imagine, besides the problem that we have, an outage, power outage yesterday, we have this situation, the short-term market, and we have the chance to make these plans to start up before that. In our business plan, we considered a critical situation for these amounts of energy to be commercialized. And right now, we feel very much comfortable with the contracts that we already have in order to hedge this position. And lastly, regarding your other question, just a moment, please. In what regards our manifestation over the B parcel, we are very frank. We are doing it together with Abradi. Abradi is centralizing all the manifestations, impact evaluation, calculations, etc., because the proposal made by the regulator is very encompassing, so that we have one single manifestation on behalf of all companies through Abradi. So our manifestation, we still have no data to share with you about future impact. What I believe is should be stressed is the manifestation by the TCU and by the regulator itself to legitimize all the procedures and all the calculations, all tariff calculations made so far. Now we are sharing this month the application be it of compliance with the legal framework and the concession contracts with a negative impact of 108 million reals. But in respect, it is done according to the regulatory framework. And by the 27th, we will see a whole set of interactions by means of Abradi in order to formulate a consistent position of distribution companies. And we believe that an additional will be adopted bilaterally, and the companies are willing to evolve, always complying with the regulatory framework and always improving it, and the use of information by the company is always based on possible, I stress the word possible, wrong calculation, error in the calculation. And we do not place ourselves in a position in which, well, the system also has its counterparts that are favorable to the consumers. And right now, they are not being put in practice. We have already had addendums in the past. It is important to stress this. And we did this with the natural intention to evolve the regulatory framework, preserving it, be it in its content or in the instruments that are the basis for this regulatory framework. And the contract is a major foundation for the regulatory framework so that we may be secure about the future of the country, mainly in what regards the energy supply, because as you well know, the regulatory framework depends on the PPAs for growth, and they are signed by the distribution companies. So these companies must respect or comply with their contracts so that they may have economic and financial balance, so that they may become the major foundation for the growth of the Brazilian economy, some that we were able to share with you today and others, such as Belo Monte plant. Thank you very much. Mr. Márcio Prado from Santander. Good afternoon. Thank you for the call. Two questions. One still about the new generation project, but focusing on the Bioformosa, CPFL Bioformosa. I'm under the impression that there is a slight adjustment in CPFL's strategy about expansion and biomass. The impression I had was that CPFL in the past gave support, such as you did, especially in terms of auction energy sales, but you didn't become a partner in this venture, but you guaranteed a part of the energy. There was no partnership, so to say, with the mill owner. And has there been an adjustment in your strategy regarding your involvement in the biomass market? And I would like to know if you are you going to establish partnerships with the sugarcane people, with the mill owners? And has there been something that happened that facilitates this kind of undertaking? And the second question has to do with electric power. Wilson was talking about the ceiling price for the wind energy, and you sounded very optimistic about that. I would like to know if you already have the wind measurement for all the projects, and could you share this with analysts, for instance, the load factor of these areas? If this information can be made public, of course, I don't know whether you can disclose this or not, but maybe you could talk about the load factor in the areas where you have operations in wind farms. And during the presentation, there was a very strong focus in generation expansion, and you said that by 2012 or 13, CPFL will probably be the second private group in energy in Brazil. Could you talk about the company's strategy in terms of expanding its generation and distribution activities? Because we see so many opportunities for distribution. And is there a stronger focus on expansion of generation? And what about distribution? Thank you. Márcio, first about biomass. No, we have not changed our strategy at all. In fact, we do have a partnership in this project, and the characteristic is the following. The partnership does occur with the Farias Group in the sense that they operate this venture, and as a consequence, they will have the energy which is necessary for the operation of their business, their core business, which is sugar and alcohol production. So we would be responsible for 100% of the investment in the plant, and because of that, all the surplus energy would be ours, 25 megawatts. And we placed 40 megawatts, attributing the use of 15 megawatts to the mill. So there is this capacity to be exported, and 70% of that has already been sold doing one auction in good pricing condition. So this good price condition is around 160 some reals, as I mentioned before. And this is important hedge because we didn't have to give a full PPA of CPFL Brasil, only regarding the amount regarding the difference or the 30%, which makes a very good venture feasible with a good rate of return with a good partner. As a principle, we believe that all exportable energy either has the company's PPA or has 100% sales so that the project may be feasible financially speaking. And this is one of the secrets of projects such as this one. And as we understand that the sale was already very adequate, we just supplemented that and we will be financing this project. As a principle, I would like to share with you the principle of partnership with the company. Of course, with major, large groups, we must have at least 51% stake in the venture, and also that we may finance with the PPA, preferably 100% or CPFL Brasil or one of the related companies. And regarding the price for the wind, so these data, of course, we carried out all the measurements necessary, which were necessary, and this is part of the process for qualification of with the agency. So all are qualified, all have all the measurements, the wind measurements, all have their production capacities already defined. All the suppliers that already are filed with the agency, all the details regarding capacity and grid connection statements, etc. So this auction had in its original qualification about 13,000 megawatts, but in order to operate with this price ceiling, it already makes a very important selection among this set of participants from the start. In order to operate 189, we will have to have a very high capacity, which gives preference to projects where you have a higher wind volume or a better technology used in the generators. We will have a better understanding of that, and when I say we, I'm talking about everybody who is following this conference call. So we will have a better understanding of that as of December 14th. We will see the capacity of Brazil to produce wind energy, and I'm very bullish about the quality of our wind farms and of the partners that we will be announcing on a timely basis. And finally, about the expansion strategy and generation and distribution. As a basic strategy, we optimize our growth capacity. So if the group doesn't grow, it's not going to have leverage, so it's going to lose value. So we have to create value. So we have to maximize our financial capacity. And, of course, we have to identify the sectors where we can be competitive and where we can give a know-how contribution and also share good practices. Above all. And your question was about growth in generation or transmission. Our stronger DNA is in distribution. We are the largest group in this area. We have eight distribution companies. And because of the consolidation process, because you know that tariff reviews were provisional or they were temporary, and the Director General of ANEEL made a commitment to make them final in the next cycle. We had 2 years. Piratininga was the first one to have that, and it had 2 years of this temporary decision. And there's still an amount on the balance sheet which is still temporary because of the so-called voluntary exposure. But the rationale of all that is a rationale of scale, of consolidation, without which you cannot have a more moderate tariff in the future. So maybe it will take longer, but this is the rationale that is used all over the world, and it is good. be it for the operator or for the regulator of the granting power, and especially for the consumers. This is very important, and discipline is of the essence. Of course, you are a member of the market, so to say, so you follow all these operations, and we will give the right step if we can have a very clear identification of our capacity of and doing this with a financial structure that may create value for the whole market. We are not going to grow our market share just for growth's sake. We are going to grow our market share provided this can bring benefit to all stakeholders, and especially our investors, who are, in a way or another, making this feasible, and so that we may share better services at lower prices in the future by creating value for this platform. So this is our preferred DNA in the group. However, we will always try to grow in a balanced manner. So in generation, we are following a growth strategy of about 250 to 300 megawatts a year ever since the inception of CPFL Geração or Generation in 2001 with the execution of these projects. And the only thing that we can see in terms of the evolution of our strategy is the fact that it started with major projects. We acquired some, we participated directly in some by means of auctions, and you can see that the generation projects now, they are bigger. Santo Antônio do Giral, for instance, and the next Belo Monte. You have to study beforehand, and we have been studying these for over 1 year. However, you cannot base your conclusions or decisions only on that. So because of that, we have to explore niches that may take advantage of our models. And Belo Monte, for instance, the basis is sale for the captive market, to the captive market, and part of that in the free market. But in the niche segments as biomass and SHPs, we have the exploration of a major potential of the group, which is its capacity to commercialize in the free market. So these projects, be it Baldin or the other one that we talked about, Bahia Formosa, the essence or the core of these projects is the platform of access to these consumers of the A4 group, so that we may create value and have a rate of return that may make this feasible. And now, also the reserve auction for wind energy. We are not placing all our bets on one single alternative, which would be the medium size and the large size plants. We are identifying niches. Biomass and SHPs are two niches, and opportunities exist, as in the area of wind energy, and we will be evaluating other alternatives. And the specific case of the TPP corresponds already as a very good part of the company, and I would like to mean that we are ranked third, and the company has to hedge, of course, because Brazil needs thermal power, and it is important for the group to support this kind of portfolio as well. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Mr. Vinicius from Credit Suisse. Good afternoon to all. I have two questions. The first question has to do with the acquisition of thermal power plants. What is the finance model for acquisitions that CPFL will be using when it comes to these plans? It is not trivial to have an idea of the annual review, annual revenue. So maybe you could comment on what you refer to be an annual revenue of these plan or CPFL stake, or to give an idea of how much will be generated, maybe a valuation of what the company is saying. The second question has to do with the coming auctions. CPFL showed in the previous quarter your demand for A-3, A-5, A-3 has already happened. So what is the estimate for A-5 and also Belo Monte, which is the next auction? Any dates or consortiums? How is CPFL being positioned for that auction? Vinicius, first addressing financing of the thermal power plants. What are we doing in order to be faster and have the project concluded in the beginning of the second half of next year? We had a bridge loan by using specific instruments, and obviously right after that, we're trying to substitute it by lines that are possible by BNB and BNDES. They are the funding in the region. So that's for the strategy. Now maybe we can calculate the revenue of the plant by using the value of the 142 reais per megawatt per hour, which is for the auction, and it's a public one. That's the value related to the production capacity. And whenever you have an order in our assessment are around 4% per year, and they have the full transfer of fuel costs, something around an additional for fuel amounting to 200 reais per megawatt per hour. But the revenue, 142 reais per megawatt per hour over a capacity of 340 megawatts made available. So that's an availability auction for the market. Now, when it comes to auctions themselves, I still cannot share with you. I don't have what the demand for A-5 will be. Focusing on our volumes indicated here, obviously because of the crisis, we have an accommodation in the market. I would say the volume would be slightly lower compared to previous auctions, but still it's sheer speculation. As you can see, considering our comparisons with the regions, we already know the third quarter is being stronger for some regions. And the trend, if everything we expected or we stated, Mantega Minister stated yesterday, proves to be true, there will be an upturn. Now, A-5 may not be that clear for everyone right now, an adjustment or A-, so the auctions are clearer, but the trend, obviously, well, we had a change in the demand curve for companies as a whole. They were all affected, some more or less affected. We are not so affected, but the volume tends to be lower. Now, as to Belo Monte's strategy, now we're still waiting for the bid. We are still waiting, and it should be 1 month before the bidding process. So it would be, you know, something around the 22nd of this month. And yesterday I mentioned that since the very beginning of this project and more recently, we have been partnering with other companies related to Previ, Enel Energy, and Vale do Rio Doce. And we know, on the other hand, that the government is also trying to generate competition for this undertaking. So that's an articulated action in the sense that there are other groups involved. So we're analyzing with our partners, some that have been with us for longer, some are more recent. Vale is one of them. The statement or the real interest behind that and qualifications for the auction depends on auction conditions, a clearer identification of the environmental permit conditions that should all be shared, not to mention the ceiling tariff to be set. And that's when we define the possibilities of each one of the groups and any formal aspects behind a consortium that might involve these three or even more. But obviously, it all depends on how ambitious people are and also the conditions of the auctions. I think we only have a clearer picture as of 20 this month. Thank you. Next question comes from Ricardo Cavanagh from Raymond James. Good morning. I also had a question related to Belo Monte, but I assume CPFL Well, if it is the winner of the concession, what would be the maximum level of EBITDA debt for the company? And considering that scenario, do you believe the payout of the company will be maintained? In terms of financial discipline, the one we use, it is our understanding that we can slightly exceed the limit of 3 or 3.5-fold EBITDA when we have an acquisition. On a transformation basis or such a big undertaking as Belo Monte is, but please bear in mind that Belo Monte has special conditions. Just as other ventures, while these projects are project finance regimen, the value of the PPA, of the captive market, of the pool and the free market are relevant as guarantees to be associated to this project. Consideration of indebtedness outside the balance sheet. But anyway, BNDES rules already establish limits for companies in terms of the net equity. In other words, CPFL would hardly have more than 25% of this undertaking, considering the parameters of qualification for finance set by BNDES. That's the first point. Second point, again, we would move to undertakings like these, provided the outlook would be value, or they would generate more value, and considering payout reduction, always try to meet the policy. The company's policy is to pay at least 50%. That's a public policy. Our practice over the last 5 years was 95%. Payment is only made if we don't have, well, we would propose to pay less than 95% if we didn't have or if we had a project that somehow would generate even a better outlook for shareholders. We don't have funds in the company because arbitration is negative. You could see, compared to the company's earnings, that we are very conservative using our cash funds, and we have to be so. We use CDI. So if we can have better use of the funds, we share that with shareholders, and therefore we can have from them an authorization to work at lower values than what we've done. But over these 5 years, we have not identified any project with that characteristic in addition to the one we mentioned. And for that reason, we keep on sticking to 95%.
In case you do not win the concession, there are alternatives to grow smaller projects. Do you believe that you could reach your target without Belo Monte or with any other possibility in the market? I think it is important to stress to all of you that Brazil needs something like 4.5 new megawatts in order to support the growth of 4.5% growth in the GDP. So Belo Monte is the most important project, and Belo Monte alone should account for 2 years of this need, if it were, you know, alone, as this project takes from 5 to 8 years to be fully implemented. Of course, it cannot be the only one. However, it is still the most important one. But there will be other auctions, and we ourselves are developing two undertakings. One of them is close to 800, and there are other auctions. Every year you have auctions, and our commitment is that our focus must be on hydropower and wind power because of climate reasons and others, and identified by the agency itself. Tapajós and Telespires are being analyzed, and many others exist, and we could go after them in the future. So this is why we have the strategy of having a project evaluation portfolio, which is rather large, and trying to identify the projects where we really can generate value. what we have to do, we have to grow the company and by increasing value, adding value, and so that this can be perceived by the market. Thank you. Our last question comes from Mr. Gustavo Gastas from BTG Pactual. Good afternoon. I have three questions. I will start by the last and easiest one. You said that you didn't have a very strong view about A-5. Within CPFL, this A-5, is it formed by the total demand of each distribution company? And do you believe that the demand is lower than what you considered in the past as the needs, or isn't there any big difference? I apologize, Gustavo, because sometimes I cannot answer all the questions all by myself, so I ask my colleagues here, and they talk, they whisper to me, however, I'm slightly deaf. So we do not have a very significantly lower demand, no. Okay, I'm going to ask my colleague, Roberto, to answer your question here. So he's going to answer your question more clearly than I could. In our view, this demand should be around 3,000 megawatts, and it represents a drop of 5 or 6% vis-à-vis the previous estimates. So this is our view of the A-5 auction, considering what we have observed in the market in the previous auction. So this is our opinion right now. Is it clear, Gustavo? Well, it's not very relevant, this drop. It is lower than we imagined, and so the -5 auction has more opportunities than we thought. Yes, it is a trade-off of the drive that you see. And during my presentation, I tried to put all the behavior indicators, especially for the industry and residential and commercial areas. As of the second half of July, we see a reversal of the picture that was established in the first half. And you can see my people here, led by Paulo César and by Roberto himself. We face a major challenge in terms of establishing some scenarios, and we, our view is very good. My second question, I think it was made very clear to everybody during your presentation that the fact that you are accelerating the growth pace of the company, and this is very good news for all of us, but I would like to understand more from the conceptual viewpoint. Today, in your mind, the generation opportunities in the market have a sufficiently high return so that you may in the future consider to lower the payout, or is it still the desire of the company to continue to be as a major investment payer? Well, we intend to keep our image of very good dividend payers, always growing value to the company. We are seen as a very good dividend payer. However, you must not forget that this defended ourselves from the crisis, and we believe that this can be perceived very clearly by means of the initiatives that we are sharing with you today. I think it is important to share the fact that our financial discipline says that resources that stay in the company without being used is very expensive. It's very expensive money. So whenever we have this kind of situation, we are going to use the resources to pay dividends. The company have the capacity to access both the debt market in the capital markets today, with the dynamics of the capital markets, we can either have access to the debt market or the equity market. So we can really do undertakings such as the one that I have described today. So we can have a major project, either the acquisition of a company or, for instance, if we were to imagine, just hypothetically, let's talk about Belo Monte. Hypothetically, it's costing 25 billion reals, and let's say the company had 25% of this venture. So we would have to invest 5 billion reals, and in 5 years' time, just simple math, we would be talking about 1 billion reals per year in financing of 75 to 80%, 200 billion reals of equity per year. It's not something that will change our policy, our dividend distribution policy. It wouldn't impact. And it would have to be together with other things in order to change our policy. The company invested more than it paid as dividends this year in terms of growth. We have been making investments of 1.2 billion, 1.3 billion the last 4 years per year. So we are major cash generators. And the advantage of the fact that we also have a footprint in distribution is the fact that we also have generation projects being concluded. In the next 6 months, we will be concluding our generation platform. We have 1 billion theoretically already incorporated to our debt, and which does not generate EBITDA, and it will start generating EBITDA in 6 months' time. So the situation will be changed for the better. We will have more cash than we have in terms of investment. So we have to make our teams really to look for these opportunities. And the only thing is that we do not want to grow without value creation. So what the company wants is to be seen by the market as a company that grows by creating value and also distributing very good dividends and preferably the maximum. And my last question, I apologize for taking up your time. From the conceptual viewpoint, we are thinking about the evolution of your EBITDA from the first to the second quarter, where we see a movement in the energy sold as a group of about 3%, and a lot of that based on the TUSD, and we didn't even expect to see such a high improvement in your revenues so quickly. And we see an improvement in the EBITDA, the non-recurrent EBITDA. In conceptually speaking, how do you see this? How do you see the second quarter? Was it weaker than it should have been? Or do we see here a benefit deriving from a better efficiency and a higher leverage? I would say it's both. The second quarter was worse for the company. This return or the recovery in the volume of sales is not seen yet. It does not incorporate all the initiatives from the adjustment auction yet in the second quarter. And this is a quarter where we also had adjustments of the tariff review of Paulista. So this is not typical. It is driven, at least at the time, it was driven by some doubts regarding market growth, and it is very different from what we see now. And I talked about productivity, and I did it on purpose, because we continue to work very strongly increasing our productivity, and you can see that on our client base, clients per employee. And when you see the recovery in the energy sales market and with the potential that we see because of the outlook for the GDP growth, you will see more and more the strategy becoming more clear, and we will see a more clear trend, because there will be no more tariff reviews. You will have the coming on board of new projects and many initiatives of productivity bearing effect. In October, we had the CCS in Piratininga, and in January, it will be passed on to Paulista. And for the first time, 12 years after privatization, we will no longer have mainframes in the company. We incorporated the assets of CMS and Santa Cruz distribution companies, and in 3 months, with an implementation of the RP of SAP, so all the companies have the same platform. So we are upgrading SAP with a new release of the SAP for all the companies in the group. So if we make all these investments, of course, we have a stronger repercussion on the quality of data for management purposes and other purposes as well. And on the other hand, also effects on the possibility to increase our operational productivity, because we are already in a period between reviews, and you have to make your investments there in order to capture all these advantages and then share them with the consumers. So you can see that the second quarter is not typical, and the outlook as of the third quarter, with all the considerations that have already been made here about the impact of the review, and which still has a temporary figure, and we believe that we will have a very favorable position after all that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Gustav. Now we close our Q&A session. I would like to give the floor to Mr. Wilson Ferreira for his final remarks. Once again, I would like to thank you all for participating in this call. Our earnings for the third quarter of 2009, and say again that it is a great pleasure for us to be able to share with you all the information about the new investments that we are making. We are very bullish about the coming auctions, Belo Monte and Wind, and we are sure that our distribution platform is very well positioned, very well managed, very well operated. So in this new moment of the Brazilian economy, we intend to take all the possible advantages from the quality of the operations and the market situation, the quality of our operations. We're acknowledged for the third time with the National Quality Award, and doing all this in such a way as to maximize our asset platform and our financial platform as well. Financial discipline is more than a statement by the company. We practice financial discipline. And every quarter when I come here and I address you, I show you the value that is created by means of the use of this system. So you can see a major reduction of our financial costs, and this expectation that we have to produce value more and more based on this platform, and associating it with a whole set of initiatives besides generation and distribution, at commercialization and services as well. All this makes us very optimistic regarding our future. So this is what we would like to share with you, and see you in 3 months' time. The CPFL Energy conference call is closed. Thank you very much, and have a very good afternoon. Thank you.